The fifth chapter of the Revelation to St. John, reading initially the first five verses, and then I believe the Lord wants to show us something this morning that is not terribly deep, but it is significant and profound. It's not terribly complicated, but it is terribly important to us. And so give the Word of God your attention this morning, and let the Spirit of the Lord interpret it to your hearts. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man, I want you to notice that, no man. No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book. No man worthy, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." The Lion of the tribe of Judah was and is the only one who was found in heaven, in earth, beneath the earth. All of God's creation was searched. There was only one that was found worthy to look upon the things of God in all of their fullness. And that's what this passage means to me. He was only one that was found worthy to see the things of the kingdom of God as they really are, and to open the seals of that book and make them personally his. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, and we know his name to be Jesus. Now, we love the scriptures that say, and I'm going to read you three scriptures particularly, three passages from the New Testament, individual verses, that identify us with this wonderful man, with this Jesus who was and who is the Lion of Judah. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 tells us this: "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, does it really say we shall be like him? Well, if we shall not be like him, and he is a lion, then shall we not also be lions? I said, shall we not also be lions? Amen. Did you know that as far as God is concerned, we already have that inheritance? It already is ours, according to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Remember now what I read to you from Revelation 5 and 5, that in heaven, next to the throne of him that had the scroll, John the Revelator said, "I saw the Lion of Judah." That is the way that Jesus is now. He is the Lion. And for purposes of understanding what a lion is, I think we've all been to the zoo and we've seen a lion. But in accordance with what the Bible means about a lion, we must go to Proverbs, the 30th chapter and the 30th verse, which tells us about a lion. And when the word lion is used in Revelation 5 and 5 to describe this man Jesus in his present state and in his present ministry, if we want to know what does the Holy Ghost mean by calling him the Lion of the tribe of Judah, then we must look for some insight as to what the Holy Ghost thinks about lions in other places in the Word of God. And there is this reference in the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs, reading from the 30th verse, which is extremely insightful, and this is what it says: "A lion which is the strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is right, sister. Hallelujah. The lion is the strongest of all, and he doesn't turn from anyone or anything. Now you see, when the Bible calls Jesus the Lion of Judah, that makes him top cat, if you will. Hallelujah. He is numero uno, the lion, you see, strongest of all of the beasts, and he does not quiver or shake or turn and run from anyone or anything. Now, wouldn't you like to be like that? Amen. John chapter 4 and verse number 17 tells us, as he is, so are we in this world. What does that mean? Lion. Lion. Strongest of the beasts, which turneth away from no one or no thing. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29. Another scripture along this vein, in which we are told that for whom he did foreknow, that is God, him also did he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know what that says to me this morning? That it is the predestinated will of God that I am to be made to be so like Jesus, that Jesus was only the first of many lions, that he was only the first of many top cats, that he was only the first of a whole new generation or breed or species of man that would come along, who would be strong in the earth and who would not turn away from any. Now clearly we can see that that is in fact the will of God. That as Jesus is the lion, so is it the will of God that those who follow him and trust in him shall also be like him. The Bible says it's God's will that we be conformed to his image so that he would be the first of many. The Bible says as he is now, so are we in this world. And says that when he comes, that while we do not know the fullness of that which we're going to be, we will be exactly like him. Now, frankly, I don't expect to roar. But I do expect to maintain the same kind of testimony and the same kind of witness here in the world that would define or describe what the Lion of Judah would do if he were here today. Now, we love those scriptures and we love those promises, and it's a glorious, glorious thing to contemplate that as Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, so are we his brethren and lion-like in the same way. Isn't that? Now that's shouting preaching, and that's a shouting message, and it's a glorious, wonderful truth of God. But that's only, if we only went that far, and we did not explain how Jesus became the Lion of Judah, then we would not really be doing our job here this morning. You would go forth growling and roaring, and you would be acting like a lion, and a little pussycat out there would do you in because all you were doing was growling. The devil roareth as a lion, but he doesn't have the goods. See, he acts like one, but he doesn't have the goods. What are the goods? Revelation chapter 5 once again. Now listen carefully. You're going to learn something this morning if you will give ear and attention to the Word of God. You will not automatically become a lion like the Lion of the tribe of Judah, just pussyfooting it through your life. There are some choices that have to be made. And praise God, more and more and more of the children of God are making those choices. And the church of Jesus Christ is rising up and roaring with a roar that can be backed up with works. Revelation chapter 5, continuing to read in the 6th verse. Now, the elder said to John the Revelator in the 5th verse, don't cry, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed, he has won, and therefore he can look on the scroll and he can open it and reveal it to us. But when John looked, he didn't see a lion. When he gazed in this vision, he didn't see a lion, even though the elder said that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. What did John see? And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, a lamb that had been killed. Now, didn't Proverbs 30:30 say that a lion was the strongest of all the beasts and that it was not turned by any? How could a dead lamb become a lion? How could a dead lamb suddenly become a lion? Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7 tells us something about lambs. Now, don't lose your place in Revelation. We're coming back to that. But Isaiah 53 gives us some insight into the nature of a lamb. It's in the 7th verse. Again, this whole chapter is talking about Jesus and his suffering. Isaiah prophesied thusly, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Willingly slaughtered. Now listen to that. A lamb goes silently and willingly to the death. Now, there's a terribly important principle here, and if you'll hang with me, it'll become so clear to you in just a few moments. I'm making some key foundational points now as we're going. All right, let's go back to Revelation 5. We are contrasting here the lion with the lamb. How could it be that Jesus, in two verses, is in the first described as a lion, powerful among all the beasts, and in the very next verse, he is described visually as being seen with the eyes. He is being described as a lamb, as a dead lamb, one that had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits, or the sevenfold spirit of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came, that is the lamb, and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Now here was a creature described as a dead lamb, to which was ascribed praise and honor and glory in all of the kingdoms of heaven and earth and beneath the earth. This dead lamb had obtained all of the glory of all of those kingdoms. He had acquired to himself all of the honor of heaven and everything under heaven. How did that happen? How did a lamb which is silent before its slaughterers and before its shearers, how did it become a lion with power that had never before been seen? There are two New Testament scriptures, I believe, that will open that up to us very clearly, then another one that will make a practical application for us. Go with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews, reading two verses. How did Jesus, this is the question, how did Jesus turn a lamb-like life into a lion-like life? How did a lamb who allowed itself to be killed through that redeem all mankind unto himself and become the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and a lion? Verse number 8 and 9 of Hebrews 5. Very, very important verses of Scripture. Very insightful. Though he were a son, the apostle says, in other words, though he had the right to be a lion, though he had the inherited right to be the king of all eternity, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, now the word made is an important word there. He was not born perfect. Now, perfect here is in the sense the Greek word means mature or complete or all that God wanted him to be. Jesus Christ was born sinless, but he was not born mature. Are you with me? He was made mature. He was made all that God knew that he could become. He was made that way, and once he was made that way, he became. Word became is very important. He wasn't automatically the Lion of Judah. He became the Lion of Judah. He became that which God said that he could be. He became from the lamb to the lion, though he had the right to it. He learned obedience to his father by the things he suffered, and through those experiences, he was made perfect, and he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. How did that take place? Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Now, how many of you are still with me? Let me see your hands if you're still following me. If you're sleeping, just yawn on. Philippians chapter 2, beginning to read in the 5th verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now here is Jesus becoming the Lamb of God and silently humbling himself before the knife of execution, and he is slain by his obedience to God. He humbled himself to his Father, he became obedient to his God, and he allowed himself to die, and he became a slain lamb. Are you still with me? Next verse. Wherefore God, now key words, because of what Jesus allowed to happen in his own life, God was able to do something. Wherefore God, because of what I've just read, God also highly exalted him and said, you're the lion of the tribe of Judah. My words. And hath given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, you see, God Almighty has made the name of Jesus to be the highest. Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. On this tablecloth right here, on the cloth that goes across our communion table, if you've never noticed this, would you please just come forward after the service this morning and notice that on this side there is a picture of a cradle representing the coming of the baby Jesus in the form of the Lamb of God. Above that cradle is a cross which represents his sacrificial substitutionary death. On the top of the table are the elements which represent that event. Coming down on the other side is another cross, and then under it is the crown. From the cradle to the crown was the cross.
Before he became the lion of the tribe of Judah, he had to die a lamb's death. Before he became top cat, he had to die. And beloved, if you want to be top cat in spiritual things, you are going to have to die to earthly things. If you want to be a lion in this life, as he is a lion where he is, you are going to have to make a part of your life like a lamb. Now go with me to the book of John, chapter number 12, and I'm going to bring it all together, and you'll see it so clearly that you will marvel. Not at me, but at the power of God's word. Anybody who'd marvel at me isn't listening to what I'm saying. John's Gospel, chapter 12, the words of Jesus beginning with the 23rd verse. Now, how does a lamb become a lion? Here's the key. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Now, I would substitute there for purposes of our discussion this morning, the hour is come that the Son of Man should become a lion. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. In other words, do like I do. Now there's some very important insight in the 25th verse. The word life is translated in your King James Bible there three times. The first two times, it is life translated from the Greek word psuche, which means our natural, soulish, earthly life. The third time it is used, it is translated from the Greek word zoe, which means the spiritual life, the eternal life, the life and the nature of God. Now, what Jesus is saying here is that he that loveth his self and loves his self life and his own desires and his own feelings and his own needs, anybody that will love those things shall lose it. It being the spiritual power, the spiritual life. But anyone that will say to his psuche life, die, psuche, will have the power of the zoe life operating in him. And there's no other way to get it. If you want to be a lion in the kingdom of God, you are going to have to make your psuche a lamb and kill it. If you want the spiritual power of the Word of God, if you want to be a lion in spiritual things, then the lamb, you're going to have to make your psuche or your self-desires, you're going to have to make those a lamb, and you're going to have to put them to death and come and follow Jesus, and you can be a lion. But you see, if your entire life is wrapped up in getting your own way and in following your own desires and in doing your own thing and ministering to your own emotions and satisfying your own personal needs, then you can forget spiritual power. You can forget being like the lion of the tribe of Judah. You will be a lamb for the rest of your life, but you'll be a living lamb instead of a dead one. But if you want the spiritual power like the Son of God has promised to us, if you want to be in this world as he is in that, then you're going to have to read here John chapter 12, verse 23 and 4 and 5, and come and serve him and follow after him by going to the cross of this life and letting our own selfish desires be slaughtered silently. You say, Pastor, that is really hard. I didn't say it was easy. All I said it was the truth. When you go to take yourself to the cross, when you go to crucify your own desires, you will find out that your psuche is not lamb-like. You will find that your psuche is very lion-like, and your psuche will say, not to me, you don't. Well, you're going to have to take advantage of the power of God that lives within you, and you're going to have to shut that thing up. Shut up self and die. I'm going to have to put it to death. Now, when you do that, that gives room for the power of God to flow in your life. Selfishness, And those emotions and feelings and actions that are based on gratifying the desires of this earthly, visible circumstance will keep you from ever acting and being like the Lion of the tribe of Judah, even though it is your rightful inheritance. And so Jesus said very clearly, he that loveth his suke, he that loveth his earthly life and his earthly existence shall lose his spiritual life, his spiritual power, shall lose the power of this lion-like existence that we've been discussing. But any man who will follow after Jesus and follow his example and will say to his own self-life, to his own suke, to his own personal desires, be a lamb, shut up, and die, that from that death will come forth a lion with spiritual power. There is no other way. And the choice is clearly ours. Jesus has given us the example. You see, when John saw him in the vision, when he saw him circumstantially, he saw a dead lamb. But the elder, you see, who's operating totally in the realm of the Spirit, he described a lion. And so it shall be in your case. The world will look at you and he will say, just like a dead lamb, absolutely of no value and no benefit, just a dead lamb, won't even rise to his own defense, keeps his mouth shut all the time. You can say anything to him, do anything to him, he's just like a dead lamb, he's just not good for anything. But the elders that are surrounding the throne of God will be telling our Heavenly Father about the lion that rests in this front row seat. You see, those around you may not recognize it, but God Almighty and those who are serving Him will recognize the difference. I tell you, if you're looking in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, you know for sure the difference between a real lion and a phony one. See, the devil looks like a lion, doesn't he? He roars like one. He sounds like one. You look at him, see, with your natural eyes, and he looks like a lion. But when you take your natural eyes off and you look at him in the Spirit, what's he look like? Looks like a toothless pussycat, someone said. See, without any power. Because the devil, from the beginning, has maintained a strong self-life. The devil, from the very beginning, had strong pride. Very much selfishness, very much I want my own thing. And as a result, he has absolutely no power in the realm of the kingdom of God or in the spiritual realm at all. And he will only always be a fake lion. You'll never be anything else. That's the way it'll be for people too. So our choice is, hallelujah, real clear, isn't it? It's very clear. Unless the lamb die, you will never have a lion. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to take the message of this word, take the spirit and the heart of this message, and drive it deep within our hearts. Cause this, Lord, to be like your two-edged sword, or not to be like it, but to be your two-edged sword, to discern and divide between that which is truly spiritual and that which is sensual. Discern through this message, Lord, the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Divide even to the joints and the marrow. Separate everything, Lord. Take everything that is suke and put it over here in the side. Let's look at it, Lord, so that we can call it a lamb, silence its voice, and take it to the cross for crucifixion. So that the life of Jesus, the Zoe, power-filled kingdom life that has been born in us, birthed by the Spirit of God through the new birth, may truly become all that you said it is, lion-like, powerful. That you may do for us the same as you did for Jesus when you highly exalted him and when you developed that in him, put him on high, gave him a place in the kingdom of God, and called him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That at his name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess to the glory of God the Father. And Lord, that's so much our desire that we could bring and should bring glory to you. And we know that as long as our suke is alive, that it only brings glory to us and none to you. But if we'll crucify that and allow your zoe life to flourish in us, that in fact will bring glory to you where it's important. It doesn't really matter whether others think what they think about us in terms of whether we meet their expectations or not. For we have resolved not to be pleasers of men, Father, but rather to be pleasers of you, pleasers of God. I pray, Lord, that in the days and the weeks, the months and the years that are coming, as many as we have before Jesus comes to take us home, that you will identify for us the suke of our persons. Show us clearly that which is self as compared with that which is selfless. And that you'll remind us of this very simple but powerful truth, that becoming a lion requires some blood along the way. That obtaining the victory is accompanied by some death to self along the way. We would not ask you to make it painless, but we would ask you to be our comfort and our stay during the process. In the name of Jesus, we confidently make our prayer with the expectation that on that day, the elders should say, "Look at all the lions." In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.